Being a marketer is no sweat. You just have to manage dozens of channels, launch hundreds of campaigns, score thousands of leads, and okay, fine, it's a lot of sweat. Unless you have HubSpot's AI-powered marketing tools to help you do all that and more. Get started at HubSpot.com/marketers.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
He got a hold of something there. Let's see. Yeah, he got that face mask.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Viking fans are going, what the hell?
You know, it looked like he got a pretty good amount of face mask there.
The Rich Eisen Show.
The face mask, it is what it is. I thought we could have done a lot to not put ourselves in the situation that we were in.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Steelers quarterback Russell Wilson. Coming up, second gentleman of the United States, Doug Emhoff. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number three of our program. Russell Wilson's about to zoom into this program from Western PA, where the New York Giants, it's the Rooney Mara game on Monday night. Dexter Lawrence will be our guest on our YouTube feed over the weekend. I'll be interviewing Dexter Lawrence of the Giants for that Monday night game as part of my work for Westwood One's coverage of Monday Night Football. Russ will be zooming in a matter of moments live right here on our program. So we're fair and balanced. We'll have Dexter Lawrence of the Giants on. And he's having a terrific season for that side of the football for them. And meanwhile, across the state, the Eagles are taking on the Cincinnati Bengals in my top five list that I just gave you that I do every single Friday of the top five most intriguing matchups of the week. I have that listed as at number two, with the Bengals having started 0-3. And thanks to that throw that we talked about at the top of our week with our guest, Terry McLaurin, who zoomed into the show on Monday when the Commanders went up top. From Jaden Daniels to Terry McLaurin, and they ended that game in Cincinnati. That put the Bengals there at 0-3, staring that right in the face. They can dig out of 500 out of that hole to 500 at the halfway point of the season by beating the Eagles. So that's an intriguing game. And if Derrick Henry wasn't doing what he's doing, which is, by the way, off to the best start of his career and on pace to have the most rushing yards of any running back in a single season in the history of the National Football League. Go ahead, Chris. I know you were saying that was an overreaction.
Can I get a shout out for that?
Go ahead and say it.
Mid-March, after free agency, we did a post-wrap-up overreaction Monday podcast, and I threw it out there. He's going to break the rushing record this year. After 7 weeks, he's on the pace. It's very impressive. He's been awesome.
And obviously, we'd be talking more about Saquon, I think.
If he wasn't on a pace?
I think we would be talking about Saquon a heck of a lot more.
Yeah, and, maybe.
You know, there were two just in Saquon's
where is he? Saquon's third in the league.
Right.
Jordan Mason, who's been obviously
terrific as well. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is I saw two NFL filmed wired for sound clips from the Eagles 28-3 win over the Giants that just once again illustrates that Saquon does more than just run it and catch it. There was one clip that I saw where they ran the tush push on the goal line and it didn't work against the Giants. And Saquon's wired for sound screaming to the sideline or run it again.
Oh.
Run it again. Now, again, he is back in MetLife, right? He is having a day. I would imagine he wants to score as much as possible. And I do believe at one point they were going to hand it to him and they tush-pushed it. And here he is after it didn't work saying, run it again. Run it again. And they did run it again. And he's talking smack during the second tush-push. Because he's the one who's helping push Jalen Hurts across the goal line. And he's talking smack to the Giants while he's doing it. You know?
Love it.
And then one of the Giants comes up to him and says they should, you know, like basically taunting Saquon for not getting the ball on the goal line. And he says back to the Giant, he says, I've already got mine. And he started saying, you know, you're a rookie still, and, you know, you're no good. And then there was also another clip of NFL Films footage of Nick Sirianni going up to Saquon on the sideline, on the bench, asking, you know, letting him know that he's within, I think, 13 yards of his career best mark. And asking if he wanted to go back in to get it. And Saquon turned it down, saying that he wants to see the young guys get their shot.
Yeah, he's like, I proved my point.
or just like, you know, it makes him, he was just like, nah, I got it. I saw that and I'm like, oh, man.
That's why I'm picking the Eagles this week.
You think, huh?
I think he's been kind of the shift that they've needed. There was obviously something up. I mean, we've talked about it all the time. They're 10-1 last year, and they're walking around the locker room miserable because they lost the Super Bowl.
Right.
So something was clearly going on. You know, the weird stuff with the head coach and the quarterback, and now they bring this guy in, and you can see kind of the difference it's made when he's cooking.
I know that.
And A.J. Brown is back. They're throwing bombs to him. And
they got
to
feel good about themselves coming off the Giants. And then you saw again what Saquon said and what he did and where he could have gotten in there. And he's just like, no, I got mine. And he was clapping back. And he's talking smack and he's leading by example. And he's just.
I love it.
I do. Listen, man, I'm partial to some people. And I make no bones about it. He's one of them that I'm partial about. You know. Kind of the same thing about our next guest as well right here. He's about to zoom in from Pittsburgh,
PA. He's checking in, looking good.
And I just like, you know, I like telling the same stories over and over again here.
Have we gotten to that age?
You know what? Having been married for 20, let me get this right now. No. Susie and I have known each other for like 25. She hears the same stories over and over again. But yeah. And if regular viewers and listeners of this show, they know, Chris, back in 2012, when we were doing this show as a once in a blue moon tent poles NFL events show, right? For kickoff and combine and draft and Super Bowl, we were doing this in a podcast version. But we do it on TV.
Yeah, we do like hour specials.
Right, hour-long specials,
like four or five guests.
And so we only had a limited amount of space. And we had a kickoff special of 2012 that was basically locked. We were done. And we get a call from the Seattle Seahawks saying our new rookie quarterback is available. And, you know, I'm like, okay. We need to make the space because he came off of, you know, out of Wisconsin. He's drafted in the middle of the draft. The Seahawks had just gotten
Matt Flynn
and he got the gig. Yep. And like, I want to talk to him.
Always
Let's
compete.
Do it. And we made the space. And here we are now. Let me get this right. Man, has it been 13 seasons later? Oh my gosh. And he's joining us now as the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Russ Wilson, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Russell? Good to see you.
Rich, what's up, man? Good to see you.
Yeah, I was just telling a story here about, you know, our lengthy history. The decade and a half almost, man.
We do have a long history, man. I remember that time where, obviously got named starting quarterback in Seattle. And I had that first call with you, I think it was.
Yeah, it was. And we were like, you know, when can we get him? And they're like, well, there's only a 10-minute window because he's in the film room nonstop. And we got you. Like, that's basically what it was. And now, you know, here you are, you're a dad. By the way, happy birthday to your better half as well.
Thank you. Yeah, she just had a birthday today, so it's an exciting time. I'll tell her you wished her happy birthday. Yeah,
I saw that, and now you're an OG, Russ. And so what's going through your mind right now, now that you're in Pittsburgh, we got that first win under your belt, Russell?
Man, what's going through my mind, obviously we play Monday night. It's an exciting time. This stadium rocks. I mean, I got to play in Seattle. That stadium rocks as well. But this stadium with the towels and the on the road. I mean, I'm just grateful I get to play another great organization. Obviously the Pittsburgh Steelers, and to be around great teammates and players. You know, it's a special place, and you know, we're loving it. Coach Tomlin is unbelievable. These guys that we get to, you know, be around, and it's just, it's a really tight knit group. We go to dinners every Thursday night, watch the Thursday night games, and just the conversations, the laughs, the time that we have, the bond. It's a special place, and you know, I'm just grateful I get to play with these guys.
Can you give me an example of Mike Tomlin being incredible? Again, just in your first few months with him and his way of talking with you, to you, expectations levels set in a very unique situation, Russell?
Well, I think the first thing is that, you know, every day, you know, Coach Tomlin comes in, he gives his monologue speech, I call it. You know, it's just, this guy is a tremendous motivator, you know, and, you know, the reality is, you know, nothing happens by accident. You know, his ability to communicate, his ability to lead, inspire, his ability to, you know, we have a meeting, you know, us quarterbacks, we have a meeting with him, you know, every week, you know, every Wednesday, Thursday, you know, and then also we have guys like, you know, Pat Freiermuth and Naj come in, and we meet with them too. And Coach Tomlin, we spend an hour every Wednesday and Thursday with Coach, and just spend that quality time with him, talking about the vision of what this week's going to look like, who we're playing, what they do well, what we want to attack. And it's a closed room meeting, and just his ability to communicate that and to, you know, really paint a picture of what's going to happen in the game and what's going to look like. And then it does. I think that's fascinating. I think also too, you know, Coach, you know, I got to spend a lot of time with Coach while I was dinged up and injured in La Trobe. I got to sit in the back porch with a lot of players and everything else, and also playing Uno games and all that, but also sitting down with Coach one-on-one and just getting to know him and his story and his relationship with Tony Dungy and how that came about and his relationship growing up and some of the similarities that he had growing up to some of the things that I've gone through or whatever it may be, and also being a dad. And just, this guy is an unbelievable mentor, but he's also a great leader of men. And there's a reason why he's won 17 years in a row. I think that it doesn't happen by accident. I think also too, you know, his demeanor on the field, you know, just how he can be in the middle of the second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, and give you a little wink and laugh. And you know that you're right where you want him, and, you know, right where you want to be. And I think that's a real thing with Coach. He eases the nerves of young men. And I think that he gives confidence and belief into us.
And then obviously, you know, the way he's been navigating the quarterback room, you and Justin Fields being brought in within weeks of each other. And then obviously the question we've been having in the media, who's going to start and who's not and why and things of that nature. What has he told you throughout the months that you've arrived about your starting job, Russell? How does he handle that?
I think the biggest thing with Coach is, you know, first of all, is, you know, the dialogue that we've had has been very open and very clear with Justin and I. And also, too, a big part of it has also been, you know, us just being our best every day. I think for me, this is my 13th year in the National Football League. And for me, you know, Justin and I have always had a really good relationship, even though he's an Ohio State guy.
Nice.
You know, being in Wisconsin and all that, you know.
Well, I'm with you on that, Russell. You know, I'm with you on that from Ann Arbor.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but I've always admired Justin from afar, and we've always stayed in touch through when he was in college and in the pros. And, you know, playing quarterback in the National Football League and also being a young black quarterback, I know what that looks like and feels like, and the ups and downs and the great moments too. And so over the years, you know, Justin and I have always been close. You know, I know his family well and everything else. And so, which the dialogue between Justin and I has always been great, and also too between Coach and us as well. And so I think the best part is that we're just focused on getting better every day and playing and all that. And, you know, I think everything that Coach has said to you guys is, you know, being clear to us too, and everything else. But, you know, the reality, I think, you know, unfortunately I had that calf injury pushing a sled, which was devastating. You know, I've almost played 200 games. I think I've only missed five or so my whole career. Mm. And that was hard on me. That was different. That was challenging. Just because I love practice. I love the games. I never really missed much over all these years. And so for me, it was really important for me just to, you know, focus on number one, you know, getting healthy again, you know, being fully who I want to be. And I, you know, obviously I want to be able to play. I've told you all these years, Rich, that I want to play past 40 and be as healthy and be as great as I could possibly can be over the years. And I think that a big part is just making sure nothing devastating happened. where I couldn't play, you know, a whole season or something. So being smart there, I think the second thing was, is, you know, it's easy to lead when you're at the front and everything's going great, you know, all time high, but can you lead in the valley? Can you lead when you're in a dark place in a way? Can you lead in those moments as well? And so I think that was a blessing in disguise, is to be able to, you know, not look into myself, but really just being able to focus on others and servitude, and just sitting on the back porch of La Trobe in those late, you know, nights in the summertime when, you know, the dormitories, and just laughing with guys and hearing their stories and going back and forth and just, you know, having great dialogue about that. And I think that's been the part, one of my greatest joys so far in my football career, to be honest with you, is having those conversations and those relationships with guys. And I think the last part of it is just understanding that you got to have a little bit of patience sometimes. You know, I struggle with patience. I'm not a patient guy yet. I love being out there every moment, but I hadn't been through that moment before. But you know, to anybody's career, especially as long as I want to play and as long as I have played, I've been very fortunate and blessed to be able to play all those games. But to be able to go through the valley and come out on the other end of it, I think is really important.
Yeah, and Russell Wilson here on the Rich Eisen Show for a few minutes left here. When you've been at it as long as you've been at it, you know, there's questions as to whether you still have it, right? When you've been at it a long time, whether you still have it. And then there's the questions that folks have when they see it again, if you feel like you're back to where you were, even though you might feel like you were always in the same place.
Yeah.
So I ask you, coming off of that debut performance, were you cooking like the old days, Russ? Were you feeling it out like there? Do you feel that?
Yeah, you know, I think that what happens is, as you get older in any sport, you know, you see this with, you know, guys even like, you know, LeBron James in basketball, guys who've played basketball for a long time, guys like Steph Curry, and guys saw it with Tom at one point, you know, in the NFL, and just guys, people always question, do people still have it? And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you have to continue to get better and stay mentally focused and ignore the noise in the midst of it all. For me, you know, obviously, you know, my first year in Denver, I got through that. I was playing injured. I had torn lat and was battling through that. And just, it was kind of a challenging year. But coming back for my second year, I felt like I was myself again, you know, and you know, I felt like I played really well. I felt, and we had, you know, attacked the moment. We didn't win all the games we wanted to, but just in the sense of, you know, the touchdowns and all that, just being me again, I felt like I was me last year. And so, when I was released and all that, I was like, you know what, wherever I go, I want to be in a place that we can go win it and win it all. And, you know, I know if I can, you know, be healthy and be myself, you know, I'll be able to do all the things that I've always aspired to do. And so that was a big thing for me. You know, I think that there's always going to be questions. I think my whole career, people have questioned, you know, is he this, or is he that? It's, you know, you get used to it. You're able to, you know, ignore the noise and just focus on the next moment, the next play. And being in there the first time, man, I'm not gonna lie to you, man. The first, we had a great, great first drive. The second, third, fourth drive, we struggled a little bit. Obviously, I think I threw a ball. You know, we ran. I was supposed to hand it off. I threw a bubble and it wasn't there, and I threw it in the dirt. I was, shoot! And everybody started booing. I was like, all right, that woke me up a little bit. Here we go. Now it's time to play some ball. And you know, you just you realize that it's always about the next pitch. You know, I think Hank Aaron once said he was 0-for-4. He felt like he was still 4-for-4. That's the mastery of the mind that you got to be able to have, to be able to stay neutral in the midst of the storm and understand that it just focus on the next pitch, the next play. And, you know, Rich, as you know, I love baseball. I love playoff baseball, Yankees versus the Dodgers. And, you know, I just think it's you got to be in those zones. You got to be in those moments and just be able to understand who you are, you know, and where you're going and what you're doing right now, and be where your feet are.
Yeah. Make the guys around you better. And we saw, you know, George Pickens have quite a game. And you've been around some receivers, some big, tall, physical receivers. Now you got Pickens. What's your relationship with him, and how are you whispering in his ear a little bit, Russ?
Well, George and I, man, he's, first of all, this guy is an absolute rock star. He's a superstar on the field, all the things he can do. And, you know, he's just got such amazing talent. You know, I saw him playing at Georgia, and I was like, man, who is this guy? And so when I got to turn on the film watching the Pittsburgh Steelers, I realized how special he is. And, you know, there's only so many guys in the world that can, you know, catch a slant route and take it to the house, you know, 80 yards like he did last year a couple of times. There's only so many guys that can catch it one-handed easily in the world, and he's one of those guys. And I've been fortunate to be able to play some amazing talents and guys like DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and guys, and guys like Cortland Sutton, special players, and GP is definitely one of those guys. I think that the best thing about George though is that he loves this game. He loves playing. He's a light in the room. When he puts that big old smile on, he gets on the field and he gets that first down, the whole place goes crazy. And so I've had a lot of really great conversations with George. I think that, the scrutiny on him is always going to be real, because when everybody knows you're a star, they're always looking for something to knock you down on. I had some really cool conversations with George along the way.
What'd you tell him? What'd you tell him, Russ?
Well, some of those are private conversations. All but right. I think, Rich, to sum it up is that, man, God's giving you amazing talent. Use it all. Use it all, man. Like, don't hold back on anything. Use it all. And also, too, understanding that, not focused on, anything else outside. Just be focused on the moment, and just we're able to do that. And so the biggest thing that I know and I understand is that, and I've really been, harping with George and hard on him, and he's been great with it, and he handles it well. He handles it all well. Is that, hey, let's get this extra work, man. We got to get extra work before practice and after practice. We got to spend time on it. We got to watch this film. We got to talk about it. We got to have conversations. And he's been unbelievable about that. The past couple of weeks has been remarkable, just watching his maturity, his growth, his mentality, he had an unbelievable practice today, just his, how he goes about it. And everybody feeds off of him too, as well, and his energy. And that's a good thing for us. And we got a lot of great receivers. I really like Van Jefferson. Is a great player. He's a pro guy who's won a Super Bowl. Calvin Austin, he's as fast as lightning, man. This guy's got unbelievable talent. Scotty Miller's done some great things. We got some really good guys, and a guy I'm familiar with, Brandon Johnson, who was with me in Denver, and caught some touchdowns last year. I think four of them last year for us. So there's some familiar faces. And then you got a guy like Pat Freiermuth playing tight end, Big Darnell, who's 6'8", and all the other guys, Cam Hayward's brother Connor. We've got some guys that can make some plays, and we've got some great backs, Naj and Jalen Warren. So I think the confidence is there for us, and we just got to keep building. We got to keep working. There's a lot more to do. We haven't done anything yet. That's the reality. We got to get better. We got to have a great game this week against a really good pass rush and everything else. And so that's where our focus is in the moment right now.
Yeah, I noticed you still have your wits about you. You found the 6'8 guy for your first completion. I saw that.
Yeah, it's hard not to find him.
You found a big guy to start. Hey, man, listen, it's great to see you in your new spot, smiling and happy and successful. Yeah. But I knew that you were committed to the craft, but I particularly knew it that you were committed to making your new future opportunity, no matter where it would be, work. When I saw you flew commercial through Newark. Russ, I keep talking about, there you are. That's commitment. I mean, I'm a New York, New Jersey guy. I can say these things. That's commitment when you fly through Newark, Russ.
Hey, you know what, whatever it takes, I think I was on a visit and going to Pittsburgh next, and I was, it's good to, whatever it takes, baby.
That's right. I saw there you were in the golden light there, and now here you are, black and gold. Russ, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. You always say yes when I come knocking. Thanks.
Yeah, man. Rich, anytime, man. It's always an honor, and it's always great to be on your show. And congrats on all the success you've had, man.
Thank you.
See you soon.
I appreciate it.
See you Monday night, baby.
There you go.
I'll see you.
There you go. That's Russell Wilson, everybody, for the Pittsburgh Steelers in advance of Monday Night Football against the Giants.
Nice.
There you go, man.
All right.
He's smelting. Let Russ smelt. That's the way you work it in Pittsburgh, PA. Let's take a break. We come back. The second gentleman of the United States from the road wants to talk about his Rams, and we go way back, too. That's coming up next.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate. A pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at AmericanExpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Whenever they have a shot of a head coach.
The cutaway.
Mm-hmm. We like to guess what that individual is like as a stepfather.
Brockman, who's up first? Who do we have up first here?
First up, Alabama head coach, Nick Saban.
What is he? What would taking a look at Nick Saban?
Nick Saban is the kind of stepfather that, regardless of how different he may seem to you, in every single Christmas card photo, his hair has been the exact same since he married your mother. He's also the kind of stepfather that wears dress pants and then a white tank top undershirt all the time, unless he leaves the house and then he puts on the dress shirt.
Former 49er head coach, current Michigan head coach, Jim Harbaugh.
Be gentle here.
You be having a conversation with him. Mm-hmm. You think it's going really great. Mm-hmm. And then he just all of a sudden gets a look on his face and he goes, "What was that?" And your heart just goes into your throat and you think you've said something horribly wrong. And you instantly start thinking about all the things that you could possibly be getting in trouble for.
Do we have Tom Sula?
We have a bonus line.
Yeah, you got Tom Sula?
I've got your current
Niner head coach?
He is the kind of guy that he will be having a conversation with you and he'll never be looking at you. And he'll be going, "How was your day? You got a good day?" And you start telling him how your day was. And then he'll always go, "Hey, honey, what's for dinner?" No matter what you're talking about, so you can be burying your soul.
Can we try?
Yeah, you'd be burying your soul. Yeah.
So hold on a minute. So I'll be your stepson.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Richie, how was the day?
That was great. Dad, let me tell you about what was going on.
Hey, honey, have you seen the clicker? Where's the clicker?
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. All right, TJ, I'm looking over at you, and I'm like looking at those flowers, and I'm thinking, this is the final half hour. This is the final curtain.
Oh,
it's the final countdown.
We've got a week and a half with these babies.
Very impressive. Yeah.
Shout out to
Carl Anthony Towns. Yeah. Very good. While we're waiting for the second gentleman, some NBA action that happened last night. How good are the Oklahoma City Thunder? Everybody keeps talking about everybody else but the Oklahoma City Thunder. How good are they? What do you think?
Look like the best in the West.
Don't you think?
I do.
Chet Holmgren?
Very good.
Gumby's all grown up.
Mm-hmm.
He looks bigger, stouter.
Shea looks like an MVP.
He does. Nobody talks about them. Nobody. And they spanked the Nuggets. They just took care of business there. Luka and the Mavs came up with a win last night. So we got that.
Yep, defending West champ.
Right. Anything else that stands out to anybody else?
Timberwolves played
last
Kings.
Night. Yep, that was Kings just play highly entertaining basketball games. They don't win them all.
Right.
But they play highly entertaining basketball games. Julius Randle had a very nice night.
They bounce back. Yeah.
They had 33 nice for night. they're eating the Cats fantasy basketball.
Oh, you have Randle?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
You have DeJounte Murray.
I do.
But that's all that happened in the NBA, Chet, Rich.
I have Chet.
That was it.
I have Jaylen Brown. Oh, how is Tatum going to win MVP if he doesn't play in the fourth quarter?
Can't do it.
because we're up by 40 every game.
Or maybe his coach is treating him like Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
Right? Just not giving him the playing time.
Again, you know, it's funny. I see other people on other shows have the, you know, it's Steve Kerr's
the chips on the story.
I started that, was atop of the, it's all Steve Kerr's fault, everyone.
You were the father.
He's to blame when we go 74-8.
You're the father. You're the George Washington of nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Is that even worth writing down?
George Washington of nonsense? The father of nonsense? You're the George Washington of nonsense.
On the Mount Rushmore of nonsense, I'm the first face.
You are that.
Carved into
the. I mean, you were saying it during the Olympics.
It was just obvious what was happening.
What was happening, Chris? What was happening? That Steve Kerr was looking at Jason Tatum Steve and Kerr, saying, I'm going to screw you over. Get out of here.
Steve Kerr is not a good coach. He's overrated as a coach.
Steve Kerr should thank every day that he coached Steph Curry. Okay. And look, obviously, Steve Kerr can see what's coming down the pike. My hottest of hottest takes, TJ, if you remember from the spring, was that what the Celtics are about to do is going to make what the Warriors, quote unquote, dynasty was child's play. And Steve Kerr saw that and was like, oh, I can't have that. I got to put little dents in their armor.
Let me just finish this conversation because our next guest is ready and we need to put our best foot forward here. Jason Tatum is pissed off about not being played enough in the Olympics, and you believe that, then how come it's not an offense to teammate Derek White that Jaylen Brown is pissed that Derek White went instead of him?
Also, Rich,
why couldn't all four have played,
okay,
been on the team, and that's played a lot saying. Of minutes?
All right. That's the end of the conversation. As you know, I like telling stories here on this program.
That's what you do.
I like telling stories here on this program. And we just celebrated our 10-year anniversary while I was in London. And coming up in 6 weeks is the 5-year anniversary that I got a phone call 2 days before Christmas. So that's, who knows, that's what, 6 weeks away from now, 7 weeks away.
A lot of math.
And it's 5 years ago, I got a call from our parent that birthed this show in DirecTV that we were done. You know, I was going to get ownership of the show, which I didn't know what to do with at all. But there were some thorny issues about separating. Mm-hmm. And I was lost. I mean, I had my agent who was terrific, but I needed some help on how to negotiate through all of the legal ramifications.
Could ask me.
I had a dear friend who I had gotten to meet, like most of my friends out here in Los Angeles, thanks to Susie, through my wife, because she was friends with his wife. And I got to meet him through social situations, dinner with wives. Yes, that actually did happen. And I got to meet, and he always said to me, if you ever need any help on the, you know, legal front or whatever, call me. And so I called him. And he's like, come in. Let's talk about it. Let's help out. Quite frankly, to be very honest, didn't know if I could afford him. But he's like, don't worry about it. Come on in. We'll hash it out. And his calmness and just awesomeness at his job, as well as just talking and communicating and figuring out everything for me to handle and giving me some heads up about what could be coming next, he handled all of it.
So we have him to thank for this.
Very much so. And he was a huge part in helping me get through all this. And he just, you know, I lost him to the United States. He's now the second gentleman of the United States joining us here in the Rich Eisen Show. My buddy, Doug Emhoff. How are you, Doug?
Man, keep going on how good a lawyer I am. I'm just sitting here looking at my team saying, see, I told you. And they're looking at me like, wow. But
no, I'm serious. That's the introduction I have for you here, man. You know, because you and I know each other for a long time. So I also know that of everything else, you really wanted to, what do you want to talk about more? The Rams or the Dodgers, Doug? I mean,
overheard you talking about basketball. Yes. And I was actually at the closing ceremonies of the Olympics. So I got to see those last couple of games. So I'm listening to your whole thing.
So
about
do you
Tatum
believe
all that stuff? I was like, play the guy. What's going on? What a championship. Like, what's happening here? Yeah. And
Right. He didn't. He wasn't. He, well, hold on. He did play the first quarter of the gold medal game, but nothing much after that.
It was it was interesting being there because I was there as a representative of the United States,
right,
as the head of a presidential delegation. But I'm just geeking out as a fan, like just looking at all the ins and outs and watching the game and the players and knowing them all and literally having those same conversations you're having now. My team, like, what's happening here? So anyway, that was interesting.
Right, I know, but, right? But were you having it with Macron? Were you? Because I know you were sitting next to him, right? You were chopping it up with Macron watching the gold medal.
I'm trying to watch the game, and he's like in my ear. And I'm like, excuse me, Mr. President, I would like to watch
you need
LeBron
to lock in.
And my team here.
You need to lock in. Yeah, and unfortunately,
it was a little hard when we were winning the title game against France, and I was watching it sitting next to.
Was it awkward?
The two of them.
Was it awkward?
I couldn't cheer too hard, but I had to by the end.
Diplomatically
it was
awkward.
An international moment. Incident.
Yes, right, exactly. you know, and obviously you're a little busy, so you won't be here for game one, I imagine, or two, right? For Dodgers Yanks.
I got a lot of incoming of just come to the game with me. I'm like, you realize I'm out on the campaign trail every single day.
Right.
And they literally know where I am. And I was like, hey, I see you're in Wisconsin. You want to just fly out and see game one? I said, I would love to, but I'm trying to get my wife elected president. So I think that has a little more meaning right now. But I we're trying to watch as many of the games as I can. And it's funny seeing like who I know in the stands.
Yes.
I'm like, hey, there's so and so there. So that's been fun. That's really my only way I feel like I'm at the game.
Yeah, people you probably represented too, you know what I mean, like back in the day. Oh, I know that guy, I know that lady, I know their business and things of that nature.
Another happy client, Rich.
That's it.
As I said to you last time when I walked into your studio,
yeah,
you're welcome.
That's right. Well, and by the way, when you last time you were here, you predicted the Rams to go.
Not doing.
Well, no, hold on a second. Well, hold on. It's you predicted them to go 4-1. They went 1-4. Listen, you can't get them all right.
Not bad.
But the last two games, you did predict that they would win those as well. They're now 3-4. I don't know how much you were able to catch last night again.
I'm trying. Like I said, I'm literally watching on my phone when I can, but I am just traveling the country every single day. And so I'm trying to watch as I can. But last night I missed it because I was flying back from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And by the time I landed, the game was over. But I was so happy as soon as I could turn my phone on and I saw that they got the W. And I think that was like a playoff game. It was like an early playoff game for them.
Now, but that said, though, you are, in fact, locked in, though, on your fantasy team. I imagine
fantasy is going well, and we're 5-2. And I don't want to sound like a bitter fantasy owner. We lost one game by a half a point, one reception in garbage time at the end of the game. So we should be 6-1, but unfortunately, we just lost Chris Godwin on a garbage time reception last weekend, a devastating injury. You know, when he's on your team and he's doing so well, you just feel so horrible, and it looked terrible. Hope he gets better. Hope he comes back. But it's, that was a tough break for the Bucs and obviously for him.
What's the name of your fantasy team, Doug? What is it?
Nirvana.
Oh, that's right, and Nirvana.
This made it into my DNC speech.
That's true.
It was highly negotiated, every word, and I just wanted to make sure. Can I talk about my fantasy team? And named after the band, and this league, I think I've told you many times, founded in 1989. It was a merger of my law school friends and the first firm I was at. So it's been around since 89, 90, and same group of folks, and a lot of us have our now adult children on our teams as well. So it's been really fun. The smack talk is massive, and now that I'm in this position, it's even worse for me.
5-2 you are, and your son Cole is being the general manager of the year of this operation while you're out doing your thing, or are you?
Yeah, I gave him the task early on because the draft was in the middle of the campaign.
Yes.
I actually went out to L.A. just special to be with him that night, to watch him draft the team. And I just did the, uninformed dad, hey, why don't we pick so-and-so? Why don't we pick so-and-so?
Right.
One of them, was Marvin Harrison Jr., because I had seen him, because I went to the draft, and I said, this guy looks unbelievable. It's off to an oak, you know, he's had some good games. But, you know, I also was pushing for Jaden Daniels because, again, I saw him at the draft. And I thought, this guy's going to be great. But we got our Jalen Hurts, which has been our quarterback probably 4 years in a row. Very solid. You know, you can bank those 25, 30 points every week. And we have a lot, kind of a hodgepodge now. And we've had to do some waiver wire pickups. But everyone's been fine, so we're feeling good.
Jalen Hurts and Marvin Harrison Jr. Did you draft your team based on swing states, Doug? Did that actually happen? Or is that just a coincidence?
There were a couple of players I said, you better not pick this person for certain things that person may or may not have said publicly. I said, I'm not having that guy on my team after what he may or may not have said. That is not going to happen.
Yeah, and you're 5-2, though. You're 5-2.
And it keeps us bonded. Like, it's so, you know, this campaign is so much. It's so surreal. It's a 15-week campaign. We're in getting to week 14. And so I just really wanted to make sure I stay connected with the kids. And with fantasy, it's an automatic way of staying in touch with Cole no matter what. And once I get him on the phone to talk about the lineup, we can talk about all kinds of other things. So it's a beautiful thing.
I love it, man. Before I let you go, what are you seeing out there on the campaign trail, Doug? What are you seeing?
A lot of enthusiasm for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz all over the country. And, you know, the polls are tight. But I think people go out and vote. There's early voting everywhere. Go to iwillvote.com if you need more information. And Aikman, whoever you vote for, obviously I'm supporting Kamala Harris, as I think everyone should. But look, do your duty in this democracy. This is what's so great about our country. Go out and register and vote. And if you're interested in the campaign, go to these campaign offices in these swing states. Knock on doors. Send out those notes. It's a great way to participate. And everywhere we go, it's just in Wisconsin yesterday, Doc Rivers. Terry Porter were out at an event with me in Milwaukee, and just to hear someone like Doc talk about our country and how important democracy is to him and what this election means to us and all Americans, it's just been very meaningful. Coach Kerr did an event, Pop did something. So a lot of folks in the NBA are again, just get out. No matter what, folks, just get out and vote.
Doug Emhoff, you are, again, no telling tales out of school, one of my favorite humans that I've come across. And I just, you know, I will be thinking of you tonight, game one of the World Series, because I know, you know, who you root for.
I got my Trojans playing, too. They're Big Ten. It's been a little tough on my Trojans so far.
I know.
I'm a little shell-shocked at this transition. It's 3-4 and... It's been a rough ride so far, but I have faith in the Trojans, faith in the Dodgers. Lakers are back. I got to see Bron and Bronny walk on the court together. I was able to catch that. It was a great moment. And sports brings us together. It puts a smile on your face, and yep. You put a smile on my face when you call those games in London.
Thanks,
and you
man.
Look down and you get a text from me saying, man, it's so good to hear your voice, my friend.
I know. And then those mean the world when I get them. And that's part of the reason why I stayed out of your text chain on that Michigan USC day, Doug, because I respect you so much and I love you too much.
Welcome to the Big Ten. I get it. I got it. We're here, man. All right. Well, it'll work out.
I know that.
All right.
Well,
take care.
Stay strong, obviously, over the last 10, 11 days. And thanks for doing this, brother. You be well.
All right. You got it, bud. Say hi to Susie.
You got it. Right back at you and say hi to the VP. That's Doug Emhoff right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Everybody go out and register to vote. As he said, doesn't matter. Got to go use your Democratic voice. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll send you to your sports weekend in a moment.
Oh. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happen. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Westwood One.
Talk is Jericho with me, Chris Jericho, goes deep and gets personal with your favorite pro wrestlers, including MJF, Jon Moxley, Adam Copeland, Will Ospreay, Timeless Tony Storm, even Stone Cold Steve Austin. Listen to and follow Talk is Jericho on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Do it now, says the Learning Tree. Thanks, guys.
We had Jerry on the show just a couple of weeks ago, Larry, and I asked him how come Steinbrenner himself never appeared on Seinfeld. And he said Steinbrenner shot a scene, but it was so bad you cut it. Is that a true story?
True story, yeah.
What was so bad about it?
He flew out on his private jet to do the show and flew back that day. And okay, he did it. And then I go into editing and I'm watching the show. And oh my God, he was so awful. He was so bad. It was, you couldn't use it. It was much better from behind with my voice, you know, than actually seeing the real guy doing it.
Right. So that was a scene where he was with Costanza?
He was with Elaine in a restaurant, I think.
Okay.
And I had to call him up and tell him he was cut.
How did that go?
I called Yankee Stadium. I said, I want to talk to Mr. Steinbrenner. It's Larry David. He got on the phone. Yeah. I said, Mr. Steinbrenner, it's Larry David calling from the Seinfeld show. Yes, yes, Larry, what is it? I said, I'm sorry to tell you this. He said, come on, you can tell me. I'm a big boy. I can take it.
Yeah. But you slipped right back in that voice.
Yeah, like right. I slipped right back in, right. And I said, I've been cut from the show. And I said, it's not your fault, but it's just the scene wasn't working, and that was it.
How did he take it?
He was a big boy. He took it well.
So he told you how he was going to take it, and he actually took it,
yeah.
George Steinbrenner and Elaine. Wow. I would never have guessed. I would have thought that there would have to have been a Costanza George moment.
I know there was an Elaine scene. I don't know. There may have been a George scene. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
That's the way we're rolling into our final segment of the week. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. As always, getting set for the weekend. One way for you to spend any of your downtime is to listen to any of our podcasts. Overreaction Monday's been out there for days. It still lasts. Your takes last, Chris. We also had Susie and Amy have Kurt Warner getting ready for week number 8, the No Contest Wrestling Pod. You and O'Shea Jackson Jr., TJ, are killing it. Appreciate you doing that.
Trying to do our thing. You are. Know?
And then, of course, there is the Jim Jackson Show on Thursdays. His guest this past week, you taped it yesterday, Jamal Mashburn. They have not chopped up the subject matters they chopped up on this pod publicly ever. Is this the subject matter of... He talked to... Didn't Jim... Jim talked about the Tony Braxton situation when he was on this program.
When he guest
right?
hosted.
Yeah. Right. I had to pull that information out of him.
Yes, you did.
After decades.
Well, the that false rumors that kind of messed with the big three.
Yeah. I don't care what Jim says. I believe what I want to believe.
Well, two of the big three chopped it up on the Jim Jackson Show. Hit it.
Every year it goes to this, the Tony Braxton stuff. I was like, man... Yeah. I don't care how many times I tell the story, it ain't happened, but it's so sensational. But then you get caught up into it, when you had nothing to do with it whatsoever. It's like, well, the three J's got broken up by Tony. I'm like, first of all, it didn't happen. Second of all, Jamal ain't had nowhere, nothing to do with it. How do you deal with it? How did you see that at that time, too?
You know what? It was, I would say that was the first time that I've ever dealt with a semblance of social media. Meaning, you know, and people have to understand this, is that back in the day, probably the 1990s, early 90s, mid 90s, you still had them after that. You had beat writers, and you had beat writers for each club. And when you came into a city, they couldn't talk about the Dallas Mavericks winning. They wanted to talk about the rumor of Tony Braxton and what all that was. And I remember Jimmy being in New York, and when all this started to kind of shake out a little bit, and you went to dinner with a sponsor,
right?
And I'm in New York, and I'm dealing with my family. I'm like, I'm a New York cat, you know. I'm just going to hang with my people in New York. And there were some other teammates that participated. I think it was George McLeod was dating one.
But George and Tony Dumas. George is the one that said that I left them and went to the studio after I invited him. I said, if y'all want to go. So nobody went. I ended up going to the sponsorship dinner with Scotty Brooks.
I remember that. So you know what that tells me is, I tell people, that's how you know we had a losing team, because your backup really wanted your spot.
All day long.
He tried to do everything except win the spot on the court, and tried to win it by doing some other mischievous stuff, you know, and difficult stuff to convolute the situation or poison the situation.
Fun stuff. Just hearing two guys chop it up, right?
It was pretty cool listening to that yesterday.
It's the Jim Jackson pod, Jim Jackson show, pardon me, wherever you get your podcasts, through the Cumulus Podcast Network and the Rich Eisen Show Podcast Network.
I love Jim Jackson, man. He's a cool cat.
It's been really cool getting to know Jim the last couple of years, him coming in and now doing the pod with us.
Yeah. Well, good. See, Michigan and Ohio State guys can get along after all, right?
Well, you tend to leave right when he gets here, so I'm not sure if you're really that.
Two ships passing in the night.
Jesus. No, I'm not a micromanager.
I'm just saying.
Come on, man.
The Ohio State thing. I think
that's not it. That's not it. It's me just saying everybody's doing their gigs and I can.
Doesn't that feel
give
good?
My 2 cents and walk out. I walk out when you start talking too with O'Shea Jackson.
Jr. Doesn't that feel good for you?
Thanks of course it does.
The second gentleman
feels
who
great.
Kept us afloat, and now we got this ship running, and now you can just peace out. That's got to feel
That's
great.
That's the idea,
Richard Seth. For
well,
you,
I need to leave now because
say,
first pitch.
Right now for
first
the game?
Pitch is in 5 hours
it's
and 5 minutes.
It's going to take you forever to get there.
Yeah, and I don't have the Ashton helicopter to help.
Guess who else doesn't have a helicopter?
You.
No, Ashton.
Oh, okay.
I bet he has easy access to a chopper.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, the barn doesn't just shift on its ground to the left and out Something comes a helicopter?
Yeah, out comes the big H
in
pad.
The lair?
Yeah.
I mean, you could land a helicopter there.
That'll wrap it up for this program. We'll be chatting with you on the radio on Monday, but on Roku in a second to wrap it.
Bingo.
All right, Bill, we're recording now. And please put your phone on silent.
Oh, where is my phone?
Let's go, man. Okay. Get it together over there, player. Go ahead. Pick on me the way that you want to.
I wouldn't say that to my son.
Just go.
All right, why would people want to listen to the Sims Complete podcast?
A father-son dynamic duo talking about the game of football.
We do a lot of quarterback and coach talks. It's fun. I love doing this. It's been awesome.
Sims Complete. Check us out on the Believe Network. Appreciate it.
Just search Believe, BLEAV, wherever you listen.